Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, the greatest nation on earth at that time. Daniel is already in the kingdom. The other Jewish slaves are in the kingdom as well. Nebuchadnezzar looks at his kingdom and thinks he's got it all and he has done it all. And it's just so wicked. Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, becomes a child of God, a worshiper of Jehovah. But he's telling a story pre-Christ, the God of heaven. And this is the story that we read of in Daniel in chapter 4. I can't read it all, but Nebuchadnezzar has a vision, and he doesn't understand the vision. He calls for his soothsayers, the Chaldeans, and those that you know did those kinds of things as wise men, and none of them could interpret the vision. And Nebuchadnezzar remembered Daniel. There is a man in his kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods. That was Nebuchadnezzar's own words prior to worshiping the Lord God Jehovah. It was just a clumsy way of describing the God that Daniel worshiped. Daniel came and listened to the dream, and God gave him the interpretation, and he told Nebuchadnezzar what the interpretation was. Didn't want to tell him, but Nebuchadnezzar said, "Listen, Daniel, give me the truth." And so he gave him the truth. And he was told that he was going to turn into a wild man. They were going to throw him out of the palace and out of the kingdom. He was going to be brought low, the most powerful man on earth, and eat grass like the cattle and spittle running from his beard. And he'd be a wild man. And his beard and his hair would get long and matted together and look like feathers. I mean, he's just going to be a terror. He's just going to be brought low, low, low. Verse 27. This is Daniel's words. "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Daniel says to the king, "King, it's not too late. You can repent of your sin now, and God will not judge you." Nebuchadnezzar had a year to get right with God, and he refused. Verse 28, "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" The king standing in the palace, looking over the kingdom of Babylon, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world. He's looking over the kingdom and says, "Look what I have done. Look what I have. Look at all of my possessions." And we get real hard on Nebuchadnezzar for having that attitude. But that's the attitude of a lot of New Testament Christians. "Look what I got. Look at my things." You know what happens? A lot of you are going to die with your garage just full of toys. And it does nothing for God. But I'm getting ahead of myself in the message. Nebuchadnezzar says, "Look what I have." He's feeling pretty good about himself. Verse 31. "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men.'" You know, you may have a lot of possessions and a lot of pizzazz and a lot of things. It can change in a day. It can change in an hour. It can be rendered useless to you. The economy could falter and everything would be gone. You could end up with a severe sickness and it's all taken away. Verse 33 says, "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. Excuse me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Until he repented. That vision was for a warning. God was given Nebuchadnezzar 12 months. He gave him a year. It's just kind of like what we preached in Sunday school this morning. You sow seeds of corruption, seeds of the flesh, or you sow seeds of the spirit. And you think you're getting away with it when you're sowing seeds of the flesh and seeds of corruption because nothing happens right away. But the law of the harvest is there's no harvest immediately. And then down the road a little bit, it's multiplied and there's a great harvest unto sorrow and unto death or unto life everlasting, eternal fruit. We as children of God are called of God to be stewards. Let's go back to Matthew in chapter 25. By the way, self-love and self-glory and self-exaltation, God's never going to bless that. Never, never. People will pat you on the back. They're glad to do it because they want to get into the good stuff. But God never blesses that. In Matthew in chapter 25, we'll pick up with verse 14. And I want to preach to you four principles of Bible stewardship. Real simple things. I will start out by quoting Luke in chapter 12 and verse 15. Where it says, a man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. Those are not true riches. And I will say this, I'll probably say it right at the end of the message as well. You will never, ever outgive God. If you are giving properly and you are giving with the right spirit, you will never, ever outgive God. I purposely wore this suit this morning. I almost put on another suit. I got a new suit this year. It's not like I didn't. But the best suit I own is my $13 suit that I got from a Goodwill store that was already my size. I'd take out one pleat and the waist fit. Some skinny guy must have had it before me. I don't know. But it was a perfect fit. Length, everything. And I'm kind of an odd size, so that doesn't happen every time. I mean, I'm really big upper body, you know. Narrow waist. But at any rate, this suit, again, is just a fact. I just want you to know, you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, I've come to this conclusion in my life. If I put Jesus first, he'll take care of all my necessities. Every one of them. Every one of them. Stewardship's important. It's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Stewardship of my household. I kind of look at it as my own little business. And you have a household as well. You need to put Jesus first in that house. You need to be Jesus first in all of that house and not just some of it. You do that, you understand your household is a great opportunity. The things that you own, it's an opportunity. The children that you've been given, Lent, it's an opportunity. The monies that you have, the atmosphere, we're all to be stewards. Matthew in chapter 25 and verse 14. The principle of ownership. Verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven, and I understand, you understand, this is a parable concerning Israel and going into the millennial kingdom. And it directly applies to the church of Jesus Christ, their Bible principles. And this parable teaches us, if we'll be good stewards now, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we will be rewarded. We will reign accordingly. That's exactly what this parable is teaching. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. This is not a lengthy message. I don't think it will be anyway. Introduction took a little longer. But Psalm 24. First principle of the four principles of Bible stewardship. The first principle is that the Lord delivered unto his servants his goods. Here's the first principle. God owns it all. God owns it all. I don't own anything. There's nothing that God has placed in my hands that I own. God owns it all. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 104 and verse 24 says, the earth is full of God's goodness. Haggai 2:8, the earth is full of thy riches. God owns it all. I don't own anything. Here's what we do sometimes. We're like the little boy and little girl in the nursery. We get something in our hands that we didn't pay for, we didn't manufacture, we just picked it up down there in the nursery floor, and it's mine. It's mine. And we're willing to fight any other little kid that crosses our path because this is my toy. This is mine. And we're just like that. We're 50-year-old men and 70-year-old ladies and 30-year-old men, and we think we own it. Here's the very first and most elemental principle of stewardship is that the principle of ownership. God owns it all. Every good gift cometh from above. Man, I didn't earn anything I have. Nothing. It all belongs to God. I understand that. And when you understand that as a child of God, it makes life just a whole lot easier. Adam was a steward. He was put in the garden and God said, you take care of the earth. You have dominion over it, but it's mine. The garden was to be, he was a steward. It was entrusted to him, but it wasn't to be his focus. This is what I want to try to get across somehow this morning. I got three more points, but it really comes down to this. God places things in our hands, but they're not for us. They're for ministry. He gives us talents, and that's the weight of gold or silver here in this parable. And he puts them in our hands, and we're to use them for the master. Well, not for ourselves, for the master. And according to our faithfulness, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. As children of God, those that are born again, we will reign during the millennial kingdom. God entrusts us with children. He entrusts us with possessions, with things. He entrusts us with relationships. But if it's all self-exaltation, if it's all self-love, then we lose. We're going to get to it. God didn't give you anything to bury. God didn't give you anything to put in a museum somewhere. Or to hoard, or say, this is mine. That's not it. Hey, by the way, that servant had the talent taken away. You read the text here. First principle of stewardship is the principle of ownership. I must recognize, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have, it's for His good pleasure. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's for the church. It's not for me. I'm the minister to the church. I'm to be a blessing to the brethren. It's not for me. Second principle of ownership or second principle of stewardship is the principle of responsibility. Let's look again at verse 14. We'll go through some of the parable here. Going back to Matthew in chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. His goods. It all belongs to God. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. A talent was a measuring weight for gold or for silver. I'm told that a talent would be a six-figure amount of money today in the age in which we live. But the point is this, he gave different talents to different people according to their ability. God knew what they could handle, and that's what they give him. That's what he gave them. You handle the little things in your life, God will give you more. You handle the little responsibilities, God will give you more. Stewardship is an awesome responsibility. Verse 16 says, and he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents for God, for the master. And likewise, he that received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Did nothing for God. The principle of accountability. We stand before God. Some of us are doing nothing for him. Some are just getting along. some have lost their way along the journey of life where they kind of got off on a tangent, and right now they're just doing their own little thing. And I just want to encourage you, as the under-shepherd here, I just want to encourage every single person here, put Jesus first. Make him number one in your life. Forget the attitudes. I can't wait to get to heaven and there's no more drama. Amen. There won't be any drama in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful time. And we'll have all right relationships. Of course, God will be there in our midst, and what a difference Jesus makes. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have a responsibility. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Just a portion of verse 8. God has given to us, and let me talk about money just a little bit. And I'm not only talking about money, but let me just talk about a little bit right here. God has given to us abilities and gifts and enable us and provide for us a job and a way to provide and for our family and a wherewithal to get through life. God has blessed us. He's entrusted us with that. We are to use it for the glory of God and God alone. I am to seek first the kingdom of God. And Romans in chapter 12 and verse 8, gifts of the Spirit, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Gifts of the Spirit, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Do you know one of the gifts of the Spirit and the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of giving? And I know people that have that gift, and they do it with simplicity. It's not for praise. They give. Some I know have that gift are wealthy. Some the world would call poor, but they have the gift of giving. God gives them one man 5 talents, to another man 1. According to their ability. And God will bless their faithfulness. The one that has the one, and he minds the store and keeps Jesus first, he'll receive a full reward. The principle of ownership, it's God's. The principle of responsibility, I have a responsibility. Let me just say something about tithing, and then I'll get off money altogether. Take your Bibles and turn to the classic passage in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi in chapter 3. Israel had gotten cold towards God. Israel was going through the motions of worshiping God, but they weren't. They were giving God seconds and thirds, and not the best. They're giving God that which they weren't going to use anyway. There was no sacrifice to it. There was no love involved in it. And the prophet Malachi says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, because they've been robbing God. He'd already accused them of that. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's the principle of accountability, where we stand before God. I already read it in the parable. The principle of accountability, where we stand before God and give an account to what we did with what God placed in our hands. We are called of God, as children of God, to be stewards. God places things in our hands, and we get things all messed up, and here's what we think. Oh, I'm to use that for me. I'm to use that for mine. But what he puts in our hands, it's so that we can use it for him. That's the purpose, and for the glory of God. And if we're faithful, there'll be more. And we're called of God, we're commanded of God to tithe, okay? So let me say this for everybody that's new in the Lord. There are a few here. A tithe is 10%. It's part of our worship. I love to tithe. I double tithe. I love it. I do it because I love Jesus. I do it because I know I can't outgive God. I do it because the last thing I want to do is shortchange God in the tithe. Because the tithe is a command. It was pre-law. It was Abraham. It was Melchizedek. It was pre-law. And it's after-law. Tithe is a baby step. It's the beginning. We're to give liberally, the scripture says. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't think you're being spiritual by tithing. It's the beginnings. Try to outgive God. You're not going to be able to do it. I've never done this. I thought about doing it this morning. Adding up all the monies that I think I've tithed over the years. It'd be just like Nebuchadnezzar. Look what I have done. What a wonderful, and I've never done it, I've never come up with a figure, and I'm never going to do that, because I think that just feed carnality. That's all that would do. On the other hand, I tried to add up all God has done for me. I can't do it. And I found out this week, the law of harvest, all those tithes, bigger. God will outgive you every time. if you just honor him. We're to bring tithes. So we're a New Testament local church. We're to bring the tithes into the storehouse. We're going to do that in a little bit. We're going to have an offering. Every household, every individual ought to be a 10%. It's given. Nobody knows who gives other than the ushers and people that count the money. That's all. I don't know who gives, but this is our worship. It's part of our worship. We come, we bring, we put a check in there, we put cash in there, however it wants to be done, that's no problem. And we bring the tithe into the storehouse so that there's meat in the storehouse so that the work of God will thrive and flourish. And God doesn't need your tithe. If you're an old skinflint and you can't afford to give to God, you're foolish and you're a baby, and I'll just let you just go on like that, and you go ahead and you make ends meet in your own life. I would rather put Jesus first and allow him to take care of me. And he does it. He does it. I'm telling you, I'm testifying. He does it. Doc Gleason used to say, you tithe for 6 weeks or 6 months, I don't remember what it was, and at the end of that time, if you're not further off ahead, or you're not further ahead than what you were before you started tithing, I'll pay you back all that tithe. That's the truth. You cannot outgive God. You cannot accidentally give God too much. It doesn't happen. It can happen. God is that good. He said, you prove me, I'll open the windows of heaven, I'll take care of you. Now, I want to encourage you, if you're a young Christian, you're new to the church, you're someone new in the family of God, start tithing for your sake. Not for mine, I don't get the money, not for the ministry's sake, for your sake. Start tithing so God can bless you. Don't cheat God. One young Christian asked me, should I tithe off of the net or off of the gross? And I said, well, it depends if you want God to bless you off of the net or off of the gross. I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. You can't. I have nicer clothes than I've ever had. I'm driving nicer cars than I've ever driven. God takes care of me. He makes the shoes last longer. He just takes care of us in every way. I'm relatively healthy. I thank God for that. My household is relatively healthy. I thank God for that. I can't afford not to tithe. Stewardship. And I'll just say this. You're responsible. Principle of ownership. God owns it all. If you'll start giving God his due, you'll find how fun it is to live off of the other 90%. Just telling you the way it is. The principle of ownership, God owns it all. The principle of responsibility, we're called of God to do it. Principle of accountability, one day we'll stand before God on our time, on our talents, and according to our treasures. All of them are to be used for God, and we'll give an account. That principle of accountability. I like this last principle. The fourth one, it's the best one. The principle of reward. Let's go back to Matthew in chapter 25. Matthew and chapter 25. I want to help you. I want to help your household. I want to help your checkbook. Man, if you just understand God owns it all, he's given to us a command. We're going to be accountable. It isn't just a free ride. We're going to reign at the Bema seat. We're going to receive rewards. And we're going to reign during the 1,000-year kingdom according to our faithfulness. Maybe somebody is above you here in this earth and they're treating you wrong. Man, you might be their boss in the millennial kingdom. And 1,000 years is a whole lot longer than 20 or 30 or 40 or 70. Or maybe they're not even saved. Maybe it's even worse than that. And they won't even get there. They're going to hell. So, you know, just be faithful with what God has given to you and understand he's going to take care of you. Matthew in chapter 25 and verse 25, let me read verse 21 and go from there. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. By the way, that does not describe our King, our Lord. He is not a hard man. He doesn't reap where he has not sowed. It's all his. It's just a parable. You understand that? You don't build doctrine on parables. Parables are windows to great Bible truths, Bible doctrine. Verse 25, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. Don't bury your talent. Okay, I'm done with the message. Just give me about 4 more minutes. Here's where the rubber meets the road. God has given you an ability. Don't bury it. That is a wicked servant. You'll not be rewarded. You'll not be blessed of God. We have a lot of people that should be in the choir that aren't because they're above our music or something. I don't know. Whatever the reason is. If God gave you a voice, why aren't you using that voice? I'm preaching to my own family here right now, man. God has given you a voice. Use it in the choir. Get there. Be faithful. There's a talent. We're not talking about money. We're talking about talent. We're talking about an ability God has given you. Teaching a Sunday school class. Helping on the bus route. Getting involved in King's Kids. Man, use those talents for the glory of God. You're not supposed to bury them. You're not supposed to hide them under a bushel. Oh, look how talented I am. And that's not it. You're supposed to use it for God. The principle of reward. I buried it. I was afraid. Doesn't add up. You don't have to be afraid of our God, our master, our servant. What does God put in your hands? Use it for the glory of God. Hey, I was talking about money. I'll say this too. Don't forget God in your wills. Don't forget God in your living trusts. Don't forget the ministry. Truthfully, if you have a life insurance policy, 10% of that ought to go to the Lord, right? Just don't forget. Don't plan on doing it someday. Do it now, all right? Let's go to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 3. The liberals are way ahead of us on that, aren't they? Man, those churches get left all kinds of money, and we independent Baptists, we just struggle through life, and the state gets everything. You know, that really is not being a good steward. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. The principle of reward. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's talent, abilities, things, finances, whatever it is that God has put in your hand, you're to be a steward of it. And I'm telling you, the rewards are going to far outweigh anything going on in your life right now. Be faithful. That last verse. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. The principle of reward. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Last verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I know this message doesn't have a real good flow here this morning, but I think the thought is consistent. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Good passage to end with. I'll remind you, don't bury your talent. I'll remind you, you can't outgive God. Have fun trying. Isn't going to happen. Be a good steward. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or pompous, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. By the way, he is certain. In the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and ready to communicate or share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You can send it on ahead. Where rust nor moth doth corrupt. You can be faithful to God and lay it in store for the future at the Bema Seat, at the Millennial Kingdom. Whatever God has put in your hands, it still belongs to God. Be faithful.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.